What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Putting America first, second, and third. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome to our show today. It is Monday, June 7th, 2021, start of a brand new week of insanity here, and we have a lot to talk about today. In fact, it's a very busy news day, so we're probably going to be a little bit late opening up the phone line, so just be patient. We'll get you on the air just as soon as we can. Anyway, it is Monday. Yesterday was the anniversary of D-Day, which for once was really low-key. I mean, normally you have the politicians are out there talking about the glory of war, and the TV channels are running all kinds of war movies like The Longest Day, and it was really kind of low-key for a change. Yesterday was also the anniversary of the assassination of Robert F. Kennedy and all of the turmoil that caused. And let's see. So Mike is in our control room, twiddling the dials, keeping us out of trouble. Let's get right on into it because we do have a lot to get through. Former President Donald Trump basically on Saturday night gave a speech at the North Carolina GOP Convention Center. Basically said America is backsliding under Joe Biden. He said a lot of things. And was very, very well received. And already the liberals are out there trying to make fun of him, saying he was wearing his pants on backwards or nonsense like that. Sort of the typical, you know, attack messages that we get when they really can't talk about, his talking points here. Anyway, he spoke for about 90 minutes and was talking about the accomplishments of his administration. And Wall Street's rise, the border wall, curtailing immigration, and his tough stance on Iran and China. Now, interesting little article. This came on out of justthenews.com. There's been another leak from Hunter Biden's laptop showing that Joe Biden's aides were basically on his case because he has a bad habit of going off script when he makes his speeches. So even with the teleprompter, he's not following the lead here. And this is back in 2015. His top aides let loose their frustrations in a private communication to Hunter Biden, saying he just couldn't end the speech. And this newly surfaced email recovered from the laptop provides a rare glimpse into the Biden inner circle's efforts to corral the oft-bumbling gaffe-prone speechmaker, a tendency that has continued into his presidency. Story coming out of Investment Watch blog, the Democrats are not going to be happy with what the Arizona audit has found. They're in the final stretch. They're down to something like 20 pallets. They're figuring they will complete the count this week. And on Steve Bannon's War Room podcast Saturday, he basically said the audits are going to show very quickly Biden did not win the election. And already the Democrats are out there saying it's a hoax. It's part of Trump's plot to steal back the White House and blah, 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 blah. They are getting desperate. And I'm wondering what they might do if the audit does show fraud. And certainly that's the word we're getting out of Arizona. You know, what is the Biden administration going to do? Are they going to start a major war as a distraction to try and take the vote fraud off the front page? Certainly the corporate media will go along with that because they were part of the vote fraud problem. But certainly here in the independent media, we have no intentions of being so easily distracted. Speaking of Arizona, they are one of just two states in the United States that still require proof of citizenship when registering to vote. There is a loophole. When you apply for the federal-only ballot, which voters can choose to use instead, it does not require proof of citizenship. And it turned out Arizona had two times the undocumented federal-only voters than the margin Joe Biden won by. Another indication of the massive fraud that was going on. By the way, over at Domagood, they had an excellent observation. You know, Democrats are always throwing garbage at the Republicans. And the one they never talk about, though, is the claim that Joe Biden won 81 million votes in the 2020 election, smashing the all-time record. But the Democrats never brag about it. And it does seem rather odd that Pelosi and Schumer and Obama sort of have a blind spot, possibly a willful blind spot in this area. Getting on back to Arizona, there are Arizona Patriots working to recall Speaker Rusty Bowers, who had the chance to stop the steal in the 2020 election and failed to do so. And they're saying that his actions after the election are reprehensible, and they're moving to recall him as well. Over in Pennsylvania, they're talking about an audit there. The people are demonstrating in the streets now. In fact, there was a story on One American News Network with all these man in the street interviews of Pennsylvania citizens saying, yes, we have to have a full and complete audit. State Senator Dave Agrell is in complete agreement. He says it's the best path forward, and yes, it definitely is. Getting on down to Georgia, where they're still fighting back and forth over their attempts to validate the 2020 election, it turns out that Mark Zuckerberg and his wife Priscilla provided $350 million to the Center for Tech and Civic Life, which gave grants to 48 states and Washington, D.C. for election administration in the lead-up to the November election. Of that amount, $31 million went to Georgia for the general election, where Joe Biden almost carried Georgia's 16 electoral votes, defeating Donald Trump by less than 12,000 votes. The center further provided $14.5 million to Georgia counties for the January runoff, where Democrats won two special elections, flipping the Senate majority to Democrats. Now, Steve Bannon is also out there saying that if Pennsylvania does have an audit, it will likely see some of their Senate seats flip back to the Republicans as well. Over in North Carolina, they're starting to gear up to challenge the 2020 election. North Carolina House members are requesting a full inspection of the voting machines. They want those machines opened up. They want to see the source code. And they want the State Board of Elections to give them some answers about the machines used to tabulate the votes. They want the machines opened up and to allow their own people to investigate what happened in November of 2020. Okay, story coming on out of Hideout Now saying that every state should be audited and pointing out that out in California, there were 3,000 votes recorded that listed a dorm building as their address at a time when the dorm building was completely empty, presumably from the COVID lockdowns. So it's definitely getting crooked out there. Again, back in Georgia, Governor Brian Kemp was actually booed at the GOP convention for refusing to support Trump's stolen election claim. And the Georgia GOP has entered a motion to censure Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger for their antics during last November. Okay, now one of the big Democratic talking points that we get in this whole debate is how voter IDs are racist, they're voter suppression, they're really, really bad. But it turns out if you look at other nations, voter IDs to vote, photo IDs to vote, are the norm in Europe and pretty much everywhere else. And a database on voting rules worldwide compiled by the Crime Prevention Research Center shows that election integrity measures are widely accepted globally and have often been adopted by countries after they've experienced massive fraud under loosened rules. So there it is. Getting back on to the protest in January 6th, the latest estimate is that the protest caused $1.5 million in damages. It's kind of hard to justify that. Looking at the photos, there wasn't that much damage, a couple of broken windows and things like that. But still, stipulating $1.5 million in damages, that's 1/1,000th the cost of damages by the Black Lives Matter and Antifa protests all last year. And you don't hear anything about that from the Democrats. Now, one of the Capitol riot attendees, Stephanie Baez, she's a 27-year-old California woman, and they're harassing her about having been at the Capitol building, and said she was allowed inside the building because she looked up the hours online when the Capitol building is open to the public, and the website said the Capitol building was open, so she just walked on over there to visit, and she wasn't part of any riot or white supremacy or any of that nonsense. Okay, the United Nations torture expert is condemning the persecution of Julian Assange, as efforts to free him are ramping up ahead of the G7 summit. And there's an action in Geneva, a petition, and the intervention by the UN Special Rapporteur on torture. Now, Assange's family has begun a U.S. tour to demand his freedom. And I'm absolutely in agreement. This guy was thrown in jail for telling the truth. And look at how many people in the high levels of government have been caught lying to we the people, and they are still walking around free. And it does seem like we're in that situation where the truth has become a crime under a government of liars. All right. Let's get into COVID-19. A lot of stuff is developing about that. Story coming on out of the Political Insider. As the truth about Fauci comes on out, it turns out your conspiracy theorist friend was right all along. And, you know, there's ever since the release of the Fauci emails, there's been all kinds of fun made of them. They've got a meme with Kermit the Frog sitting on a log playing his banjo and singing a song with the words. Here's a little song I wrote called Your Conspiracy Theorist Friend Was Right, and I owe them all an apology, which is not only funny, it is true. Now, for much of the last 15 months, you know, the corporate media and the left treated Anthony Fauci as a demigod and a hero. And the media vilified anyone who dared question Fauci, and big tech silenced anyone who disagreed with him. Well, now it's turning out they were wrong, and the independent media was right. Now, Donald Trump has unloaded on Dr. Fauci, saying he's been wrong on almost every issue, never so wrong as when he denied where the virus comes from. And one other point that Trump should have made is Trump was championing hydroxychloroquine right from the very beginning, while Fauci was out there saying, no, 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 it would not work. It would not work. More about that a little bit later. Another article, this one coming on out of Involve, Fauci secretly conspired with Mark Zuckerberg to perform a brainwashing exercise on billions of Facebook users during the start of the COVID-19 pandemic, according to these new emails disclosed under the Freedom of Information Act. Now, Zuckerberg questioned Fauci about the best methods they might help with the synthesizing, say that three times fast, and wide distribution of a COVID-19 vaccine during an email exchange, promising to throw unlimited money at the project through his foundation. So it was vaccines, 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 and keep that in mind for these coming stories here. Ted Cruz is out there saying that Facebook's actions and correspondence with Fauci shows that big tech was operating as an extension of the government, and this opens them up to legal liability. because if they aren't acting as an arm of the government, then the First Amendment applies to their actions, and Section 230 does not protect them from lawsuits. And big tech, social media, shares the blame for all the people who died because of the pro-vaccine scare tactics that were being put on out there. Something else that surfaced from the emails, Anthony Fauci threatened scientists in India who had issued a study linking COVID-19 to the AIDS virus. I remember that this had come on out, saying that there were marked similarities, especially in that spike protein between COVID-19 and AIDS. And these scientists had discovered that the COVID was engineered with AIDS-like insertions, and the study concluded it was unlikely for a virus to have acquired such unique insertions naturally in such a short period of time. And Fauci himself threatened the Indian scientists and forced them to withdraw this study. So it was out there. It's also come on out that the United States actually gave more money to that Wuhan lab for bat research than Fauci initially claimed. According to this story, the United States gave over $800,000 to the BSL-4 lab in Wuhan, from which some believe the COVID-19 virus escaped. Internal emails from officials with the National Institutes of Health and an office inside the agency, the National Institute for Allergy and Infectious Diseases, show they discussed in 2020 a question from Republican members of Congress regarding how much the agency sent to the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And the total amount sent between fiscal year 2014 and 2019 was $826,777. The funding went to Echo Health Alliance, which channeled the money to the lab for the purpose of, quote, understanding the risk of bat coronavirus emergence, end quote. Now, this is a different amount than what Dr. Anthony Fauci told members of Congress the Wuhan lab actually received. And here's where it starts to get very interesting. Fauci's National Institutes of Health funded a Wuhan military scientist who died mysteriously after filing a COVID vaccine patent. This was Zhao Yusen, a Chinese military scientist specializing in coronavirus, who collaborated with the Wuhan Institute of Virology's Zhengli Shi and basically filed a patent. Well, this would have been a huge, huge threat to the American pharmaceutical industries, which were even then rushing a vaccine into production and sale. Over at Stanford, Jay Bhattacharya, who's a professor of medicine, is out there saying Dr. Fauci's credibility is entirely shot. I certainly agree with that. And says his flip-flopping over the masks made no sense. He was being interviewed by Fox News host Laura Ingraham, and Bhattacharya said, I think he's been all over the place on the masks. He says there are emails you can find in the treasure trove of emails that have been released where he acknowledged the virus had been aerosolized. Well, the cloth masks people have been recommending, they're not effective against aerosolized viruses. Like I said, was trying to stop mosquitoes with a chain link fence. But those masks made lots of money. That's what this is all about, making money. In fact, I'm going to throw out a really crazy idea out here. It's becoming very obvious COVID-19 was manufactured. Some are saying as a biological weapon. Well, as a biological weapon, it's pretty much a failure. But what if it was a sales device? A new illness to stimulate business for the pharmacy industry. Makes people sick just enough to get them panicked and heading off to the doctor to get a needle stuck in their arm, more money pouring into the medical industrial complex here in the United States of America. It may sound like a wild idea, but you know, it certainly fits the facts, I think, pretty well. All right, the Centers for Disease. Oh, already at a commercial. Got to take a break. Be right back. We'll be right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporations, Wall Street and the banks rule our politicians. They don't deserve our thanks. Then they tell us the banks are too big to fail, when the banksters all need to be in jail.
And welcome to our show. Again, a friendly beg and a reminder that Republic Broadcasting Network needs your continuing support so that we can go on keeping the American people fully informed so that they can make good choices. And the postal address where you can send a check, money order, or if you prefer, anonymity cash is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number where you can make a credit or debit card donation is 800-724-2719, extension 3. Now, there is a promotional offer going on now. I've talked about it before, but I'm going to talk about it again. If you mail in a donation of $100, you will get your choice of an official RBN coffee mug or an official RBN t-shirt. So if you want the t-shirt, send in your t-shirt size and make sure you have a shipping address where we can send the item to. If you send in a donation for $115, that's 115, you will get both items. And don't forget the Frontside Firearms promo that is still going on. Okay, we're talking about COVID-19. And the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has now acknowledged they have received more than 200 1,000 reports of adverse effects following the vaccination for COVID-19. And let's see, the data from December 14th of last year until May 14th of this year showed 227,805 post-vaccination adverse events. It also noted 943 adverse events among those aged 12 to 17. Now, not everybody reports an adverse effect to the vaccine adverse event reporting system. I mean, my shot made me sick for 2 days, but I didn't file a report on it. So there are probably a lot more adverse reactions out there. But this 200,000 is what the CDC is acknowledging, which means that adverse reactions to the vaccine are not at all rare. Every time one of these problems comes on up, oh, yeah, there's a problem, but it's rare. You don't need to worry about it. And as a good example of that, a story was a BitChute video where it turns out that people who have taken the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which includes Claire and I, are starting to see deterioration of their intestines. But the official story is, don't worry, it's very rare and not likely to bother you. Of course. All right, another article, this one out of the New York Post. There is yet more scientific evidence showing that COVID-19 is man-made, was optimized in a lab for maximum infectivity before hitting the outside to catastrophic effects. Well, it hasn't been that catastrophic in and of itself. You know, now that we're finding out that a lot of the COVID deaths were actually misattributions for financial gain. Anyway, Dr. Stephen Quay and Richard Mueller, in an op-ed for the Wall Street Journal, pointed to two key pieces of evidence to support the claim of an artificial creation. And the first relates to the nature of the gain-of-function research in which microbiologists tweak a virus genome to alter its properties, such as increasing its transmissibility. Of the 36 possible genome pairings that can produce two arginine amino acids in a row, which results in boosting a virus lethality, the one most commonly used in gain-of-function research is CGG-CGG or double CGG, according to Quay and Miller. So it's really getting out there that this was artificially made. And there's yet another study. This is coming out of the Salk Institute. And it's saying these current vaccines actually pose a grave risk to public health because of the so-called spike protein. Now, the article they wrote on this is entitled, "The Novel Coronavirus Spike Protein Plays an Additional Key Role in Illness." And it showed that the SARS-CoV-2 distinctive spike protein damages cells, confirming COVID-19 as a primarily vascular disease. While the paper focuses strictly on COVID-related issues, it unavoidably raises questions about the new vaccines that contains billions and billions of these spike proteins or tricks your body into making these spike proteins, which can travel throughout the entire body. They can pass the blood-brain barrier, cause neurological problems and respiratory illnesses. There's another article. This is from Global Research California. Global Research up in Canada, rather, I'm sorry. And they're talking about the spike protein, and they're saying the one that is showing up in the vaccines is very different from spike proteins found in nature. Now, the in order to enter the cell, the virus has to break off from the spike protein and leave it at the doorstep. Okay, I got to take another break for commercials. We'll finish this up as soon as we come back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
Welcome back to our show here. We're talking about COVID-19. We're talking about COVID, the virus itself, and the growing indications that it was created in a laboratory. And we're talking about this article that came on out over at Global Research up in Canada, and they're talking about the spike protein. Now, the spike protein does exist itself in nature, and it is the means by which the virus attaches to a human cell because it binds to a cell receptor called ACE2, which is common in lung cells, also other parts of the body. The problem is, in order to enter the cell, the virus has to then break off from the spike protein and leave it at the cell wall. And this is not very easy. Now, the COVID virus has an interesting trick that makes the separation easier. Just at the edge of the protein is a furin cleavage site. Now, furin is an enzyme that snips protein molecules, and it exists in our bodies naturally. It has legitimate metabolic uses. And a furin cleavage site is a string of four particular amino acids that basically says, hey, come over here, furin. I'm a protein that needs to be snipped. The problem is that this furin cleavage site does not exist in nature. It doesn't exist in any of the natural coronaviruses. It's found only in what is becoming more and more obviously a synthetically produced COVID-19 virus. Okay. Another story, this one coming on out of Science Alert. A lot of people who get COVID will get the common symptoms of fever, cough, and breathing. They recover in a week or two unless they're put on a ventilator, and then they're in real, real trouble here. But roughly 10 to 30% of people get persistent symptoms being called long COVID. And there's a question. Why do some people recover quickly while others linger on for months? And it's one of the most challenging questions to have emerged from the pandemic. Okay. Moving on here. Over in Indonesia, they have been running antibodies tests on the population and discovered a lot more people have had COVID than previously thought. About 15% of Indonesia's 270 million people have antibodies, meaning they had a COVID infection and in many cases didn't know it. And it also means that at least in Indonesia, the fatality rate for COVID was 0.07%. In other words, 0.07%. That is a very, very low fatality rate. And I would like to compare that with the vaccine fatality rates. There's another story that is beginning to get really, really ugly. This is from Natural News, and it's talking about how residents of nursing homes where the COVID-19 vaccines are being administered are suddenly coming down with COVID-19. And even the corporate media is saying these are new outbreaks. And even though every resident and worker has already gotten the vaccine, new cases of COVID are emerging like wildfire all across the country. So is the vaccine actually causing the disease? We're not really sure what's going on, but there's an even darker interpretation. This is coming out of Global Research again. And it's asking a very nasty question. Were the elderly being deliberately euthanized in hospitals and care homes during the pandemic? And this is coming from Jackie DeVoy, who's an investigative journalist who has interviewed over 50 whistleblowers who believe their parents or partners were euthanized while in the nursing home or hospital. And it comes on down to a medication. Let me scroll on down here. It's called midazolam, which has been found to have been ordered in large quantities by a lot of these nursing homes, supposedly as a treatment for COVID-19. And what midazolam actually does is suppresses the respiratory system, leading to death. The more of this drug you give, the more likely it is the person will die. It is, in fact, completely ineffective with COVID. In fact, it's working with it to suppress the respiration system. And so that's getting really ugly. You know, all the stories coming out of New York and, you know, the nursing home deaths there. Now, back in April of 2020, the Health Secretary Hancock, this is coming out of David Icke, allowed stockpiled midazolam, to be reused on the elderly, and with medication prescribed for one patient simply used on another, and old people were dying in droves from what was being called COVID-19. Now, remember back when this first started, it came on out that here in the United States, there were financial incentives being given to declared deaths to be from COVID-19, pardon me, $3,000 each. And so people who were actually dying of other causes had COVID-19 on the death certificates. There was one extremely ridiculous case where a gentleman got into a car crash and died of his injuries, but because COVID-19 was detected in his body, he was listed as a COVID-19 death. And like I said earlier, I'm surprised last Easter they didn't come on out and say that Jesus died of COVID-19. Over in Great Britain, they're still pushing vaccine. And British dating apps, are going to be bribing users to get the jab with boosts and super likes. In other words, those little scores on your dating app profile that determine whether or not you're going to get laid this weekend will be artificially boosted if, in fact, if you get the vaccination, they'll artificially pump up your reputation so that you'll get the really hot dates. I just got a tweet from Steve Elkins, or a text from Steve Elkins, saying the common name is Versed. I use it for sedation. Oh, Versed, maybe. Steve, call on in and clarify that for us. Alrighty. Over in Hawaii, my old domicile, and one of the reasons I'm glad I left, Hawaii is trying to force 70% of its residents to take the COVID vaccine, and if they don't, the lockdown will continue. And again, this is illegal. These are unproven, unapproved experimental drugs, and U.S. law and the Nuremberg Code say that the government cannot force experimental treatments on ordinary citizens. It's just not supposed to be done. Okay. Study, this is another BitChute video from Dr. Stephen Smith. There's a new study once again proving hydroxychloroquine works as a treatment for COVID-19. And he's saying that hydroxychloroquine has been banned for use specifically for COVID-19 and not for any of the other illnesses. Normally, a drug is banned for bad effects. In this case, it's banned by disease. And so again, they were trying to suppress it. And again, the motive is money. Big Pharma does not want a cure out there, whether it's hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin. The big money is in constant ongoing treatments and vaccinations, and they're already talking about COVID vaccine booster shots and yearly shots, which really kind of tell you, this call for booster shots and yearly shots tells us the vaccine really didn't work in the first place. It's just another cash flow like the yearly flu shot. And according to some of those newly released emails, Dr. Anthony Fauci collaborated with top U.S. regulators to refute hydroxychloroquine as an effective treatment for persons infected with COVID-19. And this was undermining Donald Trump, who was out there saying this is a cure, and they hid it. And so we have Fauci and these top U.S. doctors conspiring to disqualify hydroxychloroquine as a COVID treatment. Millions may have died unnecessarily as a result. And along with the blood on Fauci and these doctors' hands, we have to point the finger at social media, which went along with the propaganda, even as they were shutting down the accounts of anybody saying, let's be very careful about what's going on here. So for all you people who work at Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and Google, that blood is on your hands as well. And you don't get off the moral hook by saying you were only following orders, because the Nazis tried that one at Nuremberg, and they still hanged those people anyway. Okay, Steve Elkins is on the line right now. And Steve, it was kind of hard for me to read your text while doing my show. So could you sort of clarify what it was you wanted to tell us?
We call it Versed in the ICU and ER. It's a great sedation medicine, calms people down quite a bit. But one thing I could tell you personally speaking, that with the elderly, we cut the dose in half that we would give a young person. It is very, they become very sensitive to the medication itself, and it does depress the respiratory drive in the brain there, and they will stop breathing on you. So you can reverse it with Narcan, but on the side of caution, we always give a half dose to the elderly to calm them down. If we don't use that, we'll use Ativan or Xanax or something like that, maybe some Valium. But with the elderly, it's very touchy. You got to be very careful how you use this stuff with the elderly.
Well, we may be looking at the reason for all those unexplained deaths in the nursing homes and everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, here's the situation. What probably happens is that they give it, and they give again too big a dose for the elderly, of course, they stop breathing, or their respiratory drive is suppressed, and they start to desaturate on you here. And of course, what the first thing they do is, well, you should reverse it with some Narcan, but they probably panic, and of course, they intubate the patient. The next thing, they find them on a ventilator, and of course, that's not a good situation to be in also. So I would not be surprised if just the use of it and the wrong time and the wrong purpose, and they find themselves on a ventilator. Wouldn't be surprised if that's what happened.
It certainly sounds like it. Well, Steve, thanks an awful lot for that added insight and information, and we're going to let you go here. The phone lines are still closed. I've got a lot of news to get through. We're going to be very late getting to the phones today, so please bear with me. Okay, let's see. I just had something come up here. Oh, I already got that. All righty. The World Health Organization is now confirming that the PCR test is flawed. Now, the real-time reverse transcription polymerase chain reaction test was adopted by the World Health Organization in January of last year as a means to detect the COVID-19 virus. This was based on the recommendations of a virology research group based in Charité University Hospital, Berlin, supported by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So just about 1 year later, the World Health Organization retracts. They don't say we made a mistake. The retraction is carefully worded and basically said they recommend retesting, which everybody knows is an impossibility for those people who've already been treated for an illness they did not have. Okay. Well, that's COVID-19. In other medical news, the FDA has approved the first new Alzheimer's drug in almost 20 years. Interestingly enough, it rejected the application last November when the members were split on the merits, and there have been experts out there saying that they don't think this drug is going to work anyway. But, hey, it'll make money, and that's really all that matters, I think. A little bit of good news. The Supreme Court rejected Johnson & Johnson's appeal of the $2 billion talc settlement. So Johnson & Johnson's going to have to go along with that, which means they'll be pushing to sell more and more of those vaccines to pay that bill here. In other news, non-medical, CNN is suffering a catastrophic loss of viewers. In May, their audience had dropped 45% compared to May of last year. Now, obviously, they got a lot of viewership out there bashing Donald Trump. But I think the decline is continuing mostly this year because people simply do not trust them anymore. And for what it's worth, I have switched over from Fox News to the One American News Network, and that's where I'm keeping an eye on what's going on because they seem very dedicated to actually getting the facts on out there. Meanwhile, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has scored another victory. Cruise lines will not require vaccine passports, and that's going to be a big boost to the cruise industry there. Turning to the international news, things are getting very hot over in Israel. In theory, a new government with a new prime minister will be sworn in on Wednesday. Now, that's barring Netanyahu pulling some desperation stunt, which we'll get into in a little bit. But Yemeni chairman and the new prime minister, Naftali Bennett, is appealing to Benjamin Netanyahu to just quietly let go of the premiership and allow the country to move on. And he's saying in a few days we will swear in a new government. It is not a catastrophe. It is not a disaster. It is simply a change of government, as is normal in every democratic country. And he basically went on to say Israel is not a monarchy. No one has a monopoly on who will rule. Very good words coming on in there. Netanyahu has been accused of incitement to try and stir up trouble in the Knesset, to try and bully or blackmail or scare members of the Knesset to vote him back in on Wednesday. It's not really working. And Netanyahu yesterday publicly rejected accusations of incitement against his political opponents, even after security services warned there would be an escalation in violent discourse. Okay. Now, here is where Netanyahu may pull something off. This is from Press TV. The Palestinian Authority says the Israeli regime's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is seeking to reignite the tensions in Jerusalem as a last-ditch effort to save his career, to possibly delay the swearing-in of the new government. And, yeah, it's either that or he's going to go off and attack Iran, something like that. Well, you got to take another break for commercials. We'll be right back.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
For over 20 years now, Extendabite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. We'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up anyone. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. If you got the money, well, we won't say we did. The tower.
Back to our show here. We're talking about the situation in Israel, where Netanyahu may be joining the ranks of the unemployed come Wednesday, and what he might try to do to delay that, including try and restart the violence with Gaza. And so we're seeing the story that came out of Palestine Chronicle reporting on how Israel's spy and attack drones are over Gaza skies over this last weekend. And sources told Quds Press the Israeli drones entered the skies of Gaza and hovered over the neighborhoods of Al-Shajai, Al-Zatun, and Al-Sabra. And they're concerned that they may be trying to assassinate certain Hamas leaders. But the Palestinian resistance opened fire on the drones and shot two of them down. But this may be Netanyahu trying to get things back up in a lather to try and delay the swearing in of the new government. I don't think it's going to work. I think the Israeli government is pretty much sick and tired of Netanyahu, as are we all. All right. Meanwhile, it's come on out that once again the tech giants helped Israel to muzzle Palestinians. And the main focus of this particular story has to do with TikTok, Benjamin Netanyahu tried to shut down all use of TikTok in Israel last month. And Netanyahu tried to impose the blackout as Israel faced an international social media outcry over the attack on Gaza. And government law officers are understood to have resisted the move. Benny Gantz, the defense minister, lobbied senior officials at Facebook to crack down on points critical of Israel, labeling them incitement and support for terror. Now, a little bit of interesting history, and this was at Middle East Monitor, and they had a scan of the original letter. It turns out that Albert Einstein predicted, even before Israel was officially created, that it was not going to last, and that the idea of a nation of Israel conflicted with the essential nature of Judaism. And so he's basically he's predicting the final downfall of Israel, and it may be about to happen. Over in Iran, fire and explosion hit a steel factory. This is the third major incident in 5 days, which makes it look like Iran is dealing with a campaign of sabotage coming from the newly installed head of the Mossad, or possibly from that as well. So, this is the latest in a mysterious string of blasts and blazes at sensitive sites in Iran. Okay. Three U.S. senators visited Taiwan yesterday. It was done apparently to provoke China, and it certainly did. China is very, very upset about what went down on that. Okay, we got to take a break now for station identification. The phone lines are still closed. Please bear with me. I got a lot more news after these few words.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the CoSertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.